I always saw myself as like, how can I create change? How can I create impact? How can I speak for myself? How can I speak in order to call attention to the voices that are never heard?
That is Seattle's Hollis Wong Ware. At age 28, she's accomplished a lot. She's a poet, an activist. She's the lead singer of the band The Flavor Blue. And she sang this famous hook on the Macklemore and Ryan Lewis song White Walls. I talked with Hollis Wong Ware about how Seattle has shaped her and why she pushes to change the city she loves so much.
I don't feel like I would be a musician or be an artist, a working artist, if I hadn't been here. Like, I feel like at the age of 28 now, I now know how to be in a place like LA with a strong sense of self, and a sense of self that is not conditioned upon open doors or closed doors that somebody else controls, or putting myself in a pecking order and feeling like I need to kind of fight my way up a hierarchical sense of like who I am and like what my profile is and where I fit in. You know, I think in Seattle, I was allowed to develop organically and realize that, to really focus on what made me singular. So
that's what I want to know. Is that about starting personal or starting local, or is there something particular about Seattle for you?
The amazing paradox of Seattle is that, you know, in many ways we do have an absence of industry, but on the flip, we've created some of the most important music globally in the last 100 years. Not even created, but just nurtured. And I just feel like, you know, that nurturing element of Seattle's culture and artistic community is a huge part of why, you know, I feel like I was able to step into the identity of being an artist. I think that it's a fertile land. It almost like is enabled by its isolation, whether that's geographic isolation or industry isolation, but like truly genius work that resonates worldwide. There's like a reason why it was shaped here before it went out. And I love that. I mean, I love being in LA or being on tour with my band and, you know, proudly saying that I'm from Seattle and proudly identifying with this place that I feel has given so much and is in such a period of transition now that it's really important for the inherent and value of art to be continue to be valued as like a core identity of the city.
I'm talking with Seattle artist, musician Hollis Wong Ware. Besides all your other work, you're also internationally famous. Because of your work with Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, my 9-year-old daughter sings, "I got that off black Cadillac midnight drive." How has that visibility affected you?
It's hard for me to answer that question because for me, I know, you know, just sheer numbers wise, I know where my voice has touched and my face has reached, and which can be kind of a trip if you start thinking about it like that. I mean, for me, when I think about the experience working with Macklemore and Ryan Lewis on that album, my takeaway or what impacts me is not really like, oh, I'm like so globally recognized now, which I think in the age of the internet, a lot of that is diluted in my head anyway. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Right. We know Rebecca Black and Charlie Bit My Finger, too.
Ah!
Right. It's having people know who you are is not necessarily the,
mm-hmm.
But you were saying.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just think of the growth, like the personal growth, you know, and the personal journey. And what an amazing opportunity for me to have worked on that project, which wasn't just like me singing on White Walls, but also was like producing the thrift shop video and also like doing a co-write on another song on the album. And I got to kind of flex and grow and strengthen so many of my creative skills. And so that was really a model for me, knowing that like at the end of the day, I'm not interested in being just the voice or just the face. I'm really interested in engaging in what's created in that real process, which is great. Because then what I found was when I was like, oh, I can write songs and I can sing songs and I go to LA and I'm like, oh, okay, actually, like the power comes in what you create. It's not just singing a nice song. Where the real power lies is in authoring that and shaping that. And so it was a really great affirmation for me as a cultural creator to remember that it's important. At the end of the day, it's fleeting to be a face or fleeting to be a voice, but what I really want to be is like the heart of it. You want to be the words, you want to be the melody, you want to be that thrust, you know?
And you have that body of work, you have that depth of experience, and yet the Seattle Times, knowing, I mean, you're most famous for working with Macklemore, and he's the superstar. Mm. The Seattle Times, in a headline, called you Macklemore's sidekick. Mm-hmm. What frustrated you so much about that?
Well, there's a couple things. So first of all, so my band, The Flavor Blue, we've been working together for 3 years. We just released our third project, and our publicist reached out to The Seattle Times, and a Seattle Times editor assigned a writer to our story. And we were thrilled because, of course, like, what a great opportunity, you know, Seattle's premier daily paper to write about our music. It felt like a real accomplishment. And, you know, the writer came through to interview us. Macklemore's name was never evoked throughout the entire interview. It was solely focused on our discography. But I think what was really frustrating to me in that moment was just the gulf between the heart of the article, which really didn't touch on Macklemore at all, and then the way I was labeled and presented through a headline, which was really through like an outside editor that didn't have any, you know, interaction with the content. So I felt like we created this thing that's being communicated, and then it just kind of got the Macklemore like sticker slapped on it on its way out the door. But I think that that's so much of the way we operate as a culture, is like, ooh, who can we get to validate this? This person doesn't have validity on their own. You know, their validity is only contingent and conditional to this centralized figure that we all have a touch point to. So what they would explain was like, oh, you know, we called you Macklemore's sidekick so that more people would read it, which is a complicated thing to say, right? Because what you're saying is that people are only interested in your work if you are conditional to this figure, and then you can go into the analysis.
Couldn't you say that's objectively true, whether we like it or not?
To me, it's like, first of all, if the article had been significantly about our collaborative relationship, I totally would have understood it. There is a true gap between the way that the headline was and then what the article contained, which was actually wholly interested in the work of my band. So I think that, you know, we have to be careful. Again, as an artist, I feel like I have cultural, social agency. Writers, too, have that same agency. They craft the words that we use to communicate and thus shape our realities. And when you do something as simple, you know, and as thoughtless, truly, as calling somebody a sidekick, you are inherently devaluing their agency.
What change do you want to see, or have you seen, through that? That was a pretty public back and forth.
Sure.
Around sidekick.
Mm-hmm. So
what change do you think that has brought about?
It's one of those situations where it's like you look at an institution and you want it to stay relevant and you want it to be on point and you don't want to see it slipping. And it's not something where it's like I find joy in stirring up drama. But I also don't feel like we can let institutions that truly have impact on the way that our society and we as a community within Seattle, as a city, understands itself, like, you can't let those institutions slide with BS. And if we're not going to speak out about it, it's just going to keep perpetuating itself.
What is it about you that change is so important to you? Because a lot of us, we just, you know, do our jobs and right, do our thing.
I think that people are sometimes afraid. I don't want to do the wrong thing. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to look stupid. I'm not a bad person, but it's easier for me to say nothing than to say something. But that's so vain. If you're in a position where you can even choose that option, you have privilege. And how exciting, how like energizing is it to think about activating your privilege? How can I make things happen? It's way more exciting to think about things happening than not, right? One would think. And that's where I have a ton of privilege in my life. And for me, it's always about doing that assessment. It's how can I leverage this? Who else can I put on? Like, whether that's literally on a stage as a performer, or who can I have a conversation with and come up with a strategic plan about how that person's work can be, you know, amplified. I'm so motivated by that. I think it's so much more fun. Really, it's fun work. You know what I mean? To work with other people and figure out how you can push the dial forward versus just letting things be chill. Why not be active? It's like CrossFit of the mind and the heart. You know, just like, why not push the pedal to the metal? It's about stepping outside oneself and one's pride. think about how can I really see where I fit in the grand scheme of things? If I just moved here to Seattle to take a job, what does that really mean in terms of where I sit in the spectrum of the city and its development? And then how can I be an agent of change moving forward versus somebody that just sits by? There's no such thing as like benevolent bystander. Like, I think that silence is an action. Like, and I think that you can choose to be silent, or you can choose to speak up, or to leverage what you have to move towards like a world where all are heard and all are valued.
Hollis Wong Ware, Seattle musician, poet, producer, activist. Her band is called The Flavor Blue.